At 10 o'clock, John went home. He couldn't drive down Jackson on account of the creek. He had to take a circuitous route down Elm. It was raining buckets, and the street lamps were out. Still, he could have driven the whole town blindfolded after all these years. His small, ordinarily comfortable bachelor home was freezing, and there was a leak in the kitchen roof. He scrambled around in the dark and found a pot to put under it. Then he groped his way into his bedroom, undressed quickly, down to his long underwear, threw some extra blankets on the bed, and crawled in. But it was still cold. His arthritis hurt. He couldn't use his heating pad, and there was no hot water for a hot water bottle. Moreover, he couldn't get Hilda off his mind. Recorded announcement indeed. Where had she picked that one up? Probably Newman had some newfangled device like that in his office, along with those phony antiques. He could hear the drip, drip, drip in the pot from the kitchen, a loud, lonely, ominous sound. The Mons, he had been told, had an emergency generator. Well, if he were cold, Hilda would be colder, despite her Spartan ways. The chalet was really just a big, drafty barn. He had not set foot in it now for 2 years, not since she had thrown that moth-eaten marmot at him, after he had refused to sue Clayton Poole for the bridge work that troubled her. She had missed, and he had kept his poise. In cruel retaliation, he had told her she was growing senile. She should go to the Mons. Perhaps he shouldn't have said that. Perhaps the rupture had been partly his fault. He had let things get off on an unprofessional footing the year before that, when he had asked her to marry him. It certainly had not been her feminine charms. It had been her cooking, which he had to admit was good, and the attractions, though not the comforts, of the chalet. Right away he had regretted his hasty words. Marriage to Hilda Butterwick would have been like punishing himself for all those years of peaceful bachelor life. But his impulsive proposal, made after too many bourbons, had given her the upper hand. He had noted the gleeful look in her blue eyes when she turned him down. The look had implied that he would ask her again. Instead, he had felt the relief of a reprieved felon. She had revenged herself shamelessly. "John thinks he'd like to move into the chalet," she said in his presence at one of her parties to Doc Story. "But can you imagine him living without central heating?" At other gatherings, she hinted by her manner at attempted intimacies. And one day in his office, right in front of Hazel, she had asked him how his bladder was working after his prostate trouble. At the same time, he was certain she had not wanted to marry him. Since her husband's death, she had openly cherished her new independence. She was merely disappointed that John had not given her a second chance to demonstrate this.